Good morning. This is Larry Warren, and it's Monday morning, time for Mountain Money. And Doug Wells, our usual co-host, is on summer vacation. Tim Henney joining us this morning. Welcome, Tim.
Thanks, Larry. Nice to be here.
Well, we have a different kind of weather pattern this week. It's supposed to be rainy all day today, thunderstorms later, and rain in the forecast pretty much through Friday. So coolish weather, not getting out of the 70s all week long.
Good news for trails and trail users.
Indeed. So let's talk about who's on the show this morning. We have a much talked about book. It's one of Amazon's picks of the month called Disrupt You. The author is Jay Samet. Jay is very active in technology businesses, has businesses of his own, is one of those serial digital entrepreneur types that we hear so much about. And we will be talking to him about his book, Disrupt You, Mastering Personal Transformation, Seizing Opportunities, and Thriving in the Era of Endless Innovation.
Then we're going to be exploring consolidation in two different industries. First with Greg Van Straelen. He's the owner of Wasatch Bagel and Park City Broiler, and he recently purchased Tarahumara over in Midway. He's going to be bringing the Tarahumara Express to the Wasatch Broiler, or the Park City Broiler location, which is next to the market. And then we have Kathy Fort Carty. She's the president of Destination Services. And Destination Services is a Colorado-based event management firm that recently acquired Destination VIP, which is located in Park City and is a Utah and Jackson Hole company. So we're seeing consolidation there, and she's going to talk to us about the events and how that consolidation will help their business in the future. And this is Mountain Money on KPCW. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Matt from San Francisco Design, longtime supporter of KPCW. We provide a mix of contemporary and mountain modern home furnishings for a unique Park City lifestyle. Our showrooms are in Park City and Salt Lake and offer complete design services. We're on the web at sanfrandesign.com. San Francisco Design, love your home.
Looking for products and services in the Park City area? Look no further than the business directory on the Park City Chamber Bureau website. Visit parkcity.com. It features over 1,000 businesses, from accountants and electricians to painters, window cleaners, and much more. Our member businesses provide the Park City area with products and services our community needs. Again, all this information can be found at visitparkcity.com. The Park City Chamber Bureau is a nonprofit, membership-based organization and a proud supporter of KPCW.
Welcome back to Mountain Money. We now have on the line with us Jay Samet, and let me tell you a little bit about Jay. He's been described by Wired Magazine as having the coolest job in the industry. He's a leading tech innovator, has raised hundreds of millions of dollars for startups, started and sold companies to Fortune 500 firms, taken companies public, partnered with some of the world's biggest brands, including Coca-Cola, McDonald's, GM, United Airlines. The list goes on and on and on. He's CEO of his own company, a public company, which is called Sea Change International. We'll talk a little bit about that as well. He's been a senior advisor to LinkedIn and was appointed to the White House Initiative for Education and Technology a while ago, because the president was named Clinton back then. And he teaches entrepreneurship at USC. Welcome, Jay.
Thanks for having me.
Pleasure to have you on the show. Your book is just launched last week, but is doing well and attracting attention already. Tell us a little bit about it. It's called Disrupt You, and we know about disruption in industry, but this is more about brings it down, the subject of disruption down to the personal level.
Absolutely. So whether by chance, choice, or circumstance, everyone's career will be disrupted. Over the next decade, we're going to see 40% of the current jobs in the market disappear and change. So really, if you want to change the world, you first have to focus on changing yourself. And that's what Disrupt You is all about, giving people the tools to see where those opportunities are in this era of endless innovation.
And, you know, in the old days, you developed a set of skills, and you stuck with those skills your whole career.
100%.
Whether you were making cars or widgets or running a store or something, but that doesn't fly anymore.
what happens when that company goes away? We're now at the 60th anniversary of the Fortune 500, the biggest 500 companies. Only 57 of the original still exist. So that idea that you're going to hang around and get that watch or one skill set, as you said, it's going to last your career is over. And this isn't just about technology. This is about technology impacts every job. What happens when autonomous vehicles displace every delivery service, every truck driver? What happens when 3D printing changes the way everything's made? So it's really about seeing those impacts, but you can either look at these as obstacles or opportunities. And if you look at what the opportunities are, they are massive.
So, Jay, let's say that you make that change on a personal level from viewing the old paradigm and sticking with things, and now you're in a new paradigm, everything's changing around you, and you say, okay, I'm going to stop viewing this as a challenge, I'm going to see it as an opportunity. What, in addition, do you need to do in order to be successful or thrive in this new environment once you've embraced it?
Excellent question. So you really have to look at where do you want to go and then work backwards from the future. In the book, Disrupt You, I talk about making your disruptors map. And if you knew you wanted to be a surgeon, it would be obviously that you know you'd want to go to med school. So if you want to be whatever that might be, figure out what the steps are backwards that you need. I mean, one really simple thing is look at the problems in your life. We live in a complex world. Everybody has problems. The more problems you have, the more successful you'll be. Because all that an entrepreneur is somebody that solves other people's problems. So in the book and in my class, I tell students, write down three problems today that you have in your life and do that for a month. At the end of the month, you have 90 ideas. In the beginning of the month, it's easy. You were in traffic this morning. Well, a guy came up with ways that separated cars just by looking at traffic one morning. And these are simple, simple steps to do. When you look at the dozens of billionaires that, you know, told their stories in the book, you really see this isn't people that are different than you and I. They're just people that weren't afraid to try.
Jay, you know, I like that idea of projecting out into the future, and also your recommendation of, you know, writing three things down every day, and you accumulate a list of things that you're going to view as opportunities and, you know, challenge with the opportunities within challenges. But if you're looking out into the future, as you just said, the future is changing. The present is changing so rapidly. How can you look out into the future 10 or 20 years and say, and work back from that? Because that's in such a state of flux.
I mean, people always tease me for you know, decades, how am I all accurately predicting the future? It's because I hang out with the people that are coding it. So it's easy to look out 2 or 3 years. 5 to 10 takes a little bit more. But you can look out and say, wow, we were never able to do this before. I'll give you a real simple story that has nothing to do with technology. It's just looking at a problem. A woman got a sales job for a major company that was conservative down in Florida, and they required her to wear pantyhose. Well, she wanted to wear open-toe shoes, and toes look silly. So she tried cutting off the toes. She tried all different kinds of stuff. She finally figured out something. She went to manufacturers, and they all laughed at her. So she went literally into the bookstore and got a book on how to write patents herself. And the name of her company is Spanx, and she's a billionaire.
Indeed. So
it's that easy.
Yeah.
Have you ever been in the airport and your flight got canceled?
Oh, yeah.
So a guy I do business with, the same thing happened to him. But he looked around and saw everybody else waiting. He did the math in his head, how many people. He went over, chartered a plane, and held up a sign, Virgin Airways. And that's how a high school dropout music exec started an airline. It's that easy.
But how do you, so you're teaching entrepreneurship and you know, the future leaders of America are in school today. How do you teach that? It's not really a subject matter so much as a mindset.
Well, then we need to focus on the mindset. So I take students that are either MBA students or engineers or whatever, but here's the issue. We have 2.3 billion millennials coming up in this generation. That is more people than were on the planet when our parents were born. There will not be jobs for 2.3 billion people. And when you look at ISIS, when you look at Greece, when you look at the problems in Ferguson, and these aren't race, religion, or culture. These are massive unemployment for those under 30. There's nothing more destabilizing. When the Weimar Republic after World War I had no jobs for those under 30, we ended up killing 80 million people. So this is an issue that the planet's going to face. We either change the mindset to teach people how to be empowered to create opportunity, or we're going to have massive, massive destabilization.
Yeah, and one of the quotes I picked up in your book, no successful person followed another's path. I mean, that's the gist of entrepreneurship, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, you're taught in class. I was just like everybody else. I got out of school 3 decades ago. I got the good grades, did everything I was told, and boom, I came out, and there was no jobs. It was a recession. So I literally just printed up business cards and knew that nobody would talk to me, but if I was a sales guy for a made-up company, maybe they'd talk and do business. And when you suddenly do $1 million, you never go back to the normal way of thinking. And so it really is a mindset, as you put it, but it's not a mindset that is so ailing. You can retrain yourself to think, to see opportunity, and to seize those opportunities. And that's what this refuge is really about.
So, Jay, kind of the dynamic of the workplace and the business of the future is somewhat similar in that, you know, this realm of opportunity is what we're talking about, and it's an extremely competitive environment. It was when you graduated in the early 80s. It is today for graduates, and it's going to be tomorrow because there are going to be even more people competing for those limited opportunities. But it sounds like the whole definition of opportunity is changing in such a way, but we're still going to be in it's not like the whole pie is expanding. There's still intense competition, and what you're trying to do is lay the groundwork for those to succeed in this new dynamic.
Right. You have a choice in life, to follow your dreams or work for somebody else to make their dreams come true. It's that simple. And you're absolutely right. It's not that this is going to be simple or easy or, you know, everybody just sees the tip of the iceberg, the success. Most entrepreneurs will have a series of failures in their attempts. Henry Ford went bankrupt several times before he hit Ford Motor in his 50s. Bill Gates and Paul Allen's first company went belly up. Microsoft was their second company. But what it's really about is going out and understanding how to do it. The one advantage we have is, as culturally, we don't have a fear of failure. The rest of the world, when I talk about it, it is a huge difference. We grew up, depending on the age of your listeners, with either I Love Lucy or Homer Simpson, and the plot was the same. They have a get-rich-quick idea, they try it, it falls apart, and at the end of the episode, life goes on. That's really the American secret. We don't have the best educational system. We don't have the best resources, but what we do have is this drive to try. And that's all you need to do. You can figure out the details once you try. You know, failing is okay. Failure is giving up.
So, Jay, tell me what this world looks like through your eyes in the future. And, you know, pick a date in the future, whether it's 5 years, 10 years, 15 or 20 years down the road, where people have adopted they've embraced and adopted the new paradigm. They are succeeding. They're using, you know, some of the strategies that you've outlined. What does it look like? Because I keep wondering how many people can be entrepreneurs in this new world. It seems like that's a finite number.
No. It isn't, because here's the reality. We're not talking about that everybody's going to build a business with 10,000 employees. You are holding in your hand a cell phone that is one click away from 6 billion potential customers. So you only have to be right for one nanosecond, which is why you see the self-made billionaire in their 20s happening every month now. So it's really about figuring out something. I'll give you a great example. Somebody just walked up to me after a speech that I was doing on Disrupt You. You know those little cheap digital watches you would get with a Happy Meal that cost next to nothing? Imagine embedding one of those into a medicine bottle cap, the typical prescription medicine bottle. But every time you put the cap back on, it resets the clock. Did Grandma remember to take her medicine at breakfast? Oh, you can look at it and go, oh, it says 12 hours since I've touched this bottle. How amazing is that for a simple idea? You didn't have to be an engineer. You didn't have to met the cap. You just get that in the marketplace, and in the first year, it'll do whatever. I've had students in my class go and do $150 million their first year in business. That's what drives me. It is that easy.
That medicine cap idea is a good one. I bet somebody ran out and did and patented that already.
No, he went out and patented it, and he's on his way. But do you see how it's really about seeing problems? The problem that they wrote down on their list was, did I take my medicine? How many of us have that thought and go through that? But once you make that list, then the secret to success in life is to solve for others.
You know,
so disrupt you. I teach you, look at the problem that is focused on that list for the most people, and that's where you'll see the most success.
You know, I wrote down a phrase you spoke of earlier in this conversation, and you said the future is being coded right now. Do we all need to be coders? Because we're having this discussion in Park City schools right now. Do we need to start coding classes, and do we start them in elementary school or where?
Well, I think it's a great skill set to teach students. I mean, most of our educational system is designed from an agrarian society where you needed to just know how to measure acres, okay? So I do believe, but here I'm living proof. I've been at the head of technology. We're partnered with companies like IBM and Microsoft and for decades, and I don't code. I haven't coded since I was in college. But it gives you a mindset to understand how things can be put together the same way we learn geometry or trigonometry but don't use it in our daily life. So, yeah, I do think students should start early.
So, Jay, I'm just curious about the educational system, since Larry kind of talked about that here in Park City, and a lot of people are thinking about what their kids and as parents, how we want to guide them through that process. And in the past, you know, like you mentioned, you set your sights on being a doctor and you worked backwards and you were a pre-med. Your major, you know, everything focused and funneled you into this one line of pursuit, this one discipline. What would you tell parents now? What should their children be looking at? Because it seems to me as though some of those things, which in the past, you know, our parents would have said, oh, you need to have a major that's marketable and you can't be, you know, a philosophy major because you won't get a job. But yet philosophy majors learn how to be excellent critical and creative thinkers, which might be exactly what they need in the future.
No, I mean, it's 100%. We took learning an instrument out of schools, and what does an instrument really teach? That you do something for a long time till you get good at it, that there's no instant gratification. Wow, what better lesson can you teach kids? You bring up huge issues that are out there, and what it's really about, and I'll give you how I raised my kids, and I'll brag for 2 seconds because I love my kids. My kids ended up going to Ivy League schools, and you know, one got an MBA from Harvard and went to Princeton and Brown. But I used to have a video game company when they were little, and I would never buy them a game system. Here, Daddy makes video games. I said, if you want to play video games, write your own. So I exposed them to software and sent them to camp and let them learn how to code. And once they learned that they could make their own games, sitting there and just twitching mindlessly is boring. So when kids are young, expose them to things that they can create and build. And their minds will go. I talked to a young, amazing woman in the book. She was in junior high school, and she learned in her junior high school how to build a neural network, a very simple computer program, and she made a little soccer game. And then her aunt came over and was crying with her mom. Her aunt came down with breast cancer, and this girl was heartbroken. What could she do to her aunt that she loved? So she said, what if I built a network, a neural network, detecting breast cancer? By the time she was in high school, she'd come up with a methodology 99% accurate, more accurate than anything that any medical system in the world was using, and it's now used worldwide. She saves about 40,000 women's lives a year with this technology. That's what this is about. Expose young minds to the possibility, not putting limitations on them.
And then, Jay, just by expanding children to those possibilities, does that in the future gain its own critical mass of expanding the pie of possibility? And that's how we, you know, because I said earlier that it's still a very competitive and finite environment. You know, you have a limited pie, but it sounds to me as though you could, in theory, expand the pie because you're creating all these new opportunities that are coming from the possibility of what might be. That sounds a little esoteric.
But so what Disrupt You really focused on, and one of the big trends is called the sharing economy. I mean, Airbnb, a multi-billion-dollar company, was started because two guys couldn't pay their rent, and they said, why don't we put air mattresses in our apartment and rent it out. Okay? I mean, it's that simple problem solving.
I always wondered why it got that name.
Yeah. I mean, I'll tell you one of my favorite things when I give a speech. Do either of you guys own an electric drill?
Sure.
Okay. We all
Every do. Guy owns an electric drill.
Okay. Now I'm going to shame you. According to the Electric Drill Association, over the lifetime of you owning that drill, you will drill for a total of 13 minutes. Oh, the IKEA bookcase. Zip, zip, zip. So really, there's no point to own this thing if one could be just like delivered to your door and then picked up and when you need it. So now we have the drill and all these other things we don't use that we accumulate and move and store and da-da-da-da-da. In a networked economy, these are local opportunities. People can make all these things available, and you don't have to have them. So the sharing economy is this big thing. You know, 40% of the food that makes it to the supermarket goes into the trash can. It doesn't make it out of the supermarket. 40% of our food goes to waste. We can't more efficiently figure out how to distribute that, both for profit and for feeding the homeless. So there's huge opportunities. And the first third of the book, Disrupt You, is about how to disrupt your thinking internally. The second is how to apply it to your career. But the third is for those people whose needs are met, how you can literally change the world, governments and systems, and really inspirational ideas from people that are doing it.
Well, Jay, interesting subjects all, and we appreciate having you on the air today. The book is Disrupt You, Mastering Personal Transformation, Seize Opportunity, and Thrive in the Era of Endless Innovation. So, what's occupying your thinking as problems that need solving today?
I'm reaching the age where I'm about to have grandkids, and I want a self-driving motorhome. So self-driving vehicles are going to change life. You'll no longer have to take car keys away from elderly relatives. You know, it'll bring back domestic travel, tons of things. We'll get to explore the national parks without being tired. But there are so many opportunities that it is just the greatest time to be alive. But, guys, I really, really thank you for having me on the show.
Well, our pleasure. Self-driving motorhomes. May be a good idea. It depends if everybody else is similarly equipped. Very fine. Thanks for joining us. Appreciate it. We are going to continue with Mountain Money in a few minutes. First, look at the forecast for today, heading to a high of 75 with showers likely and a chance of thunderstorms later on. A chance of thunderstorms continuing all the way through Friday, and our highs will be in the mid to upper 70s, but we won't even hit 80 all week long. We're having a good time. So when we come back, we're going to talk about a very popular restaurant in Midway, Tarahumara, which is on its way to Park City. Mountain Money continues after this.
Assemble is proud to be a KPCW underwriter. Assemble offers executive offices which can be rented on a long or short-term basis, or a business lounge membership located in New Park. More information on the web at assembleparkcity.com or 435-709-7888.
This is Tom Roney with Berkshire Hathaway Home Services Utah Properties. We are committed to serving Park City and are proud supporters of KPCW. More information at bhhsutah.com or one of our 24 offices throughout Summit and Wasatch counties.
Well, welcome back to Mountain Money. And joining us in the studio is Craig Van Strelen. He's the owner of Wasatch Bagels and Park City Broiler and just recently purchased Tarahumara in Midway. And I guess, Greg, you have some big plans on what you're going to bring to Park City Broiler.
Yeah, it's almost overwhelming. We've got, of course, we bought the... Me and Stanton Jones purchased the Tarahumara in Midway, and we're going to bring it back to where the broiler is. It's just a perfect fit. We want to come back and offer all of our customers all of the homemade food that we have there that's all authentic for that region of and Tarahumara.
I assume you're going to keep Tarahumara over in Midway?
Oh, absolutely.
Yep. And that's kind of a landmark restaurant over there, is my understanding. I've been there a couple of times.
Yes, absolutely. My landlord will make sure that we signed a long-term lease over there, so we're going to be there for a long, long time.
Well, you know, I lived in Midway, just left Midway a month ago, actually, moved back to Park City. But when I started driving down to get to my house, Tarahumara was in the corner of a big strip mall, and it has just expanded from one storefront to the next, and an outdoor deck and a cantina, and it has just been wildly successful in Midway. Why? What is the tarahumara recipe? Not the amount of flour in a taco shell, but what is the recipe for success? Because it is a destination restaurant that just does fabulously.
That's a great question, and I'm asked that every day, and I would definitely attribute the main component of that is the passion that Greg and Gloria and the family had that started it. They started roughly nine-something years ago, and they just really focused on the love of making the food. I mean, the process, it takes many, many hours to cook each item, then put it together and not just whip out more Mexican food. They've kept true and authentic to that region, some of the recipes from the Chihuahua region of Mexico. So when people come in, they're not going to get cheddar cheese. It's not going to be Taco Bell. It's going to be real Mexican food, and it's going to be made thoroughly and done, completely the way it's supposed to be made. There's not shortcuts to it.
And the salsa bar is it's like Baskin-Robbins, 33 flavors or something.
Wonderful, wonderful lady named Patricia works 60-plus hours a week, and all she does is cook all the vegetables for the salsa, and it's all put together from scratch, 30 different salsas.
And so are you going to keep the same model with how you create the food? Is she going to continue to work on the salsas and you'll expand it to the new location at PC Broiler?
Exactly. I think it's going to be – what we're excited about is we're going to take all of the more, complicated recipes and make them at the location in Midway, and then we'll bring them over to Park City and then finish the cooking over there. So we can keep true to that same quality standard, not have it be, we're reinventing the wheel over at the other place. That's why it was such a good fit to purchase that restaurant.
So the last time you were here, it was to talk about the expansion of Park City Broiler from the original Wasatch Bagels. So does the Broiler go away?
The Broiler
get replaced by Tarahumara Express?
Yeah, grew so much as the bagel shop. It was Wasatch Bagel for years. Now it's Wasatch Bagel and Grill starting about 5 years ago. And we sell as many hamburgers as we do bagels now because we put a lot of love and attention into making, I think, the best hamburger in Park City. So we do that. We closed the Broiler months ago for the expansion of having a little bit more room for the Wasatch Bagel. So it's going to be quite a... It's going to be quite a challenge to open up this other place and have the capacity. We're going to have to expand.
Now, is the Broiler that room that's right next to the Wasatch Bagel? You're open. They share the space, basically.
That's exactly.
With that little entryway
right.
Or walkway.
So that's what becomes Tarahumara Express.
Exactly. Yeah, we're thrilled to bring it here. I'm a little nervous. We get so many customers from Park City that come over to Midway, so I hope it doesn't hurt the Midway store too much, but I was doing some sales calculating last night, and we're on track to have the busiest month in the 9 or 10 year history of Tarahumara in Midway for the month of July, which I'm really excited to see that growth.
And is there a seasonal aspect? Do you see a boom in the summer because people are eating more Mexican food, or is there high demand in the winter as well?
It is, with the soft winter, they have the ice castles and all that. And when they have a good winter with it being cold and snowy, then we do well. It does well out there. But, of course, with the softer winters, it's slowed down a little bit, but it's still – the summer is the busy season. That's where you get the main, the larger part of the sales from June to August.
And do you know if your clientele, is the demographic local or is it visitors who are coming in looking for a place to feed the family and they're there for, a golf outing, or I'm not sure why people go to Midway in the summer other than to get into the mountains and...
Exactly. They come up for the mountains. They come up for the family, a lot of family cabins. It's a similar demographic to Park City, where I think it's combination. I would say roughly it's, you know, half and half for the tourists and for the locals. The locals have been wonderful. They're very supportive, and you know, it's been nice.
Now, are you going head to head with El Chubasco? It kind of sounds like it's a similar.
Yeah, it wasn't. You know, that wasn't what my original goal. I just thought it was a great fit, and it just so happens that maybe it does. I think there's plenty of room for everybody, and we're certainly just trying to focus on what we do and not what other people do.
Well, I know every time I go into El Chubasco for lunch, it's just as busy as it could be. I mean, sometimes there's a line out the door.
Absolutely. It's been a tradition there. It's, you know, I thought Craig and Jill really did a great job over there building that business up, and they deserve a lot of credit for that.
So talk a little bit about the Tarahumara region. I did a Goodwill a relief kind of trip down to Chihuahua several years ago and enjoyed the food immensely. It is different than the rest of Mexico?
I'm going to have to come back in months as I learn more to really answer you better, but I think I know that it's true to that region because the family is from there, except for Greg. Of course, he's a gringo, but the family is just passionate. And I think that just to let you know, the Chihuahua region's in the northern part of Mexico,
south of El Paso,
exactly. And it's Copper Canyon, beautiful waterfalls. If you study it, Born to Run, I think, is the name of the book. Phenomenal book. The Indians would actually be running hundreds of miles a week, and literally it's wonderful. If you look, study a little bit, the colors and the all of the unique things they wear and put on their bodies, it's very amazing culture, very interesting, very good.
And the family that you're buying from, they were simply ready to retire or move on to another project?
Well, and this is what I tell everybody. When you take something, you have nothing, you make it into something, that what they did, that took a lot of effort, a lot of energy. I think they're very tired. You know, Greg's a little older. He's in his 60s. And, you know, Glory was tired. She's focusing on her grandkids. And they decided that there's another chapter in their life now that they need to move forward to.
So the timing was good. You were looking for a new restaurant concept for the broiler space. And they were ready to move on?
You just hit the nail on the head. I was going to do, you know, a Mexican food or something, some sort of concept where the broiler is. And then that somebody came and let me know about Tarahumara, and I thought, wow, that's a great fit. And so Stanton and I teamed up, and we're excited to open. We're tentatively looking at the September, around then, to open. We'd like to do it hopefully my daughter's birthday, September 15th, and when Mexico was liberated, which was September 15th. That would be kind of fun.
And what about the burgers that you mentioned that you've been successful with? Is Wasatch Bagel going to continue to do burgers, or did the burgers go away?
No, there won't be any change. We have some ways to expand and get a little bit more out of the seating there. And, you know, there'll be a lot of takeout, but there's sit-down as well. And there's some opportunities to expand without giving too much detail where we can really expand the dining room. And there's going to be no change with Wasatch Bagel and Grill.
Now you've unless I'm mistaken, and I have old knowledge, you closed after lunch pretty much, didn't you? What are your hours? Are you going to be open through the day and into the evening?
For Wasatch Bagel?
Yeah.
That
and Tarahumara.
Yeah, I'm the sixth owner of Wasatch Bagel. I bought that 7 years ago. And I remember when I first bought it, people would be running to the door at 3 p.m. because they'd be locking the doors.
Yeah.
You know,
that's what I remember, is it was a lunch place and then it stopped.
That gave me chest pains. So I immediately started to open till 5. And then once the crew accepted that, then we went later. And then we realized that we're paying the rent. We're doing all this. Let's expand the menu out and do something else. And that's when, you know, I've sold hamburgers for 20 years other places. So I thought, let's do the hamburgers.
Okay. Well, let's wrap this up. But talk about the food business. It's an awfully high stress business. You can't have a bad day if you're serving food, because the word gets out. And the hours are long, and there. What do you like about the restaurant business?
Depends what day you ask me. It really does.
I can't. I know there are more than 100 in town, and it's one of the things people come to town and do is start restaurants. I can't think of a business I would less likely to want to be in.
Now you tell me. Yeah, it's been that way. Kind of get used to it, I guess. But, you know, where it ends and begins is the people that you have, your employees. And if you've got the right employees, it's fun. If you have the wrong employees, it can be a disaster.
And in a resort town, employees, keeping and retaining employees is about the hardest thing there is.
It really is, but there's some really simple things to do, I think. We've had almost no turnover in the last 7 years at Wasatch Bagel. I can literally think of maybe just one or two people. And that's what the culture will end up with at Tata Umata. But it's going to take a while. You know, and to Greg and Gloria's credit, there's a lot of people there that worked there. And it was like a war. I mean, they sweated and cried together, laughed together, and built that business up to, I would say, probably the highest volume, one of the highest volume Mexican food restaurants in Utah. And so that's a hard act to follow in coming in the new owner. So, of course, there's going to be turnover. Of course, people are going to, you know, be ready to move on. It's just how the natural process is, I think.
Greg, what is the one thing that you would attribute to retention of your employees? I mean, you know, I know there's a number of things. There's probably many things, but what is the most important thing to retaining your employees that you want to retain?
I think the top two, frankly, is money, paying them
a living wage,
paying them where they're not the working poor, giving a little bit more of the pie away. They're the people that do it for you. And I think, secondly, it's giving them an environment of love and giving them the respect to do that. I'm not talking just to push over, but to tell them when we need to do something better. But also, they know that you're not going to go up and scream and yell at them, and you're not going to, you know, be difficult with them. They don't need to be treated, you know, they just need to be shown and loved. And I believe that's it. When you find those type of people that want that situation, and you'll go through people, then it kind of falls into place.
Very fine. Okay, Craig Van Straelen, thanks for joining us, owner of Wasatch Bagels, and bringing Tara Humara from Midway, keeping it in Midway, and expanding it to Park City.
Yeah,
thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Let's keep it in Midway. We don't want to do that.
Thanks. Indeed. Okay, and we're going to talk about the destination entertainment and booking business when we come back, a new consolidation of destination services in Park City. We'll be back after this.
This is Ryan Hoffman, branch manager at Mountain West Bank.
And Brooks Harbertson, commercial lender, sponsor of Mountain Money on KPCW.
We offer several products and services for individuals and businesses, including deposit and loan solutions.
Mountain West Bank, Kearns Boulevard, next to the theater, 649-3369.
Division of Glacier Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
This summer, tune into KPCW every Tuesday to join us for This Green Earth. We'll bring you the latest on all things environmental,
including extreme weather, melting sea ice, crazy wolverines, wild flowers, and sweaty polar bears.
All that every Tuesday at 9 a.m.
Brought to you by
Recycle Utah,
Republic Services,
Vail Resorts,
and Rocky Mountain Power.
Joining us in the studio is Kathy Fortcarty. She's the president of Destination Services, which has just consolidated a local firm, Destination VIP. They're in the event management business. And Kathy, welcome to the studio.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Yeah. And tell us about the consolidation.
Well, I started Destination Services about 30 years ago in the Vail Valley. And I've been based in Colorado for quite a long time. I expanded into the Lake Tahoe market about 6-7 years ago. And the state of Utah has been sitting in the middle, staring me in the eye, looking at Park City and all of the amazing expansion that has taken place in this destination, the wonderful air access in and out of Salt Lake City. And I just couldn't pass up the opportunity to really put a play in an effort to try to acquire this company that's been based in Park City for over 15 years.
We've heard a fair amount of what you just described about kind of the general dynamics of Park City and why it's attractive to not only people and families, but also businesses, not just visitors, but also businesses. Vail made a big purchase here recently, and that's gotten
you may
a lot
have
of
heard
attention.
About it.
So other than Park City, why did you focus in on Destination VIP? What drew you to that particular local company?
Well, our business is a very niche, it's a niche type of business where we specialize in corporate Fortune 500 meetings and events. And I think with the combined resources that DVIP offered, they've got a staff that's been, you know, long-standing in the market, they're entrenched in the community, they were working with very similar clients that we have worked with in the Colorado area as well as Lake Tahoe. We had developed a very friendly relationship of referrals and leads back and forth. So, for instance, if I had a great client out of the insurance market that we ran an incentive program, say, in the Vail or Beaver Creek area, the next year they want to go someplace different, they want to try a new area, they're looking at Park City, Deer Valley, I can pick up the phone and call my friends at DVIP and say this was a wonderful client that we worked with and let's share this piece of business and pass it along. So really, there was a lot of natural kind of organic relationship building that had happened over the last 8-10 years. And I felt a great sense of trust in the team here. They've been, you know, again, tenured and longstanding. They've got great deep relationships in the market, and that's very critical for what we do. You have to really know the destination very well. And that's how we offer these great unique experiences to our clients. So for me to come in here as a as an entrepreneur and just open up shop, I certainly could have done that, but I would have been competing against DVIP instead of collaborating, partnering, and growing the business together.
But weren't you already collaborating and sharing? So why change that model, which seemed to be working, and acquire?
Well,
does it sort of consolidate or be consolidated?
Well, I think, that's a great question. In our business, it certainly is becoming, it has typically been more of a small business, ma and pa type of business that has been prevalent in the United States. There certainly is a lot more consolidation that's going on across North America and internationally. So I think for us to have a combined company that now entails Colorado, Utah, Jackson Hole, Lake Tahoe, what that's going to do is allow us to be a larger organization and focus much more on the global sales outbound with these corporate clients to go out and build these relationships and make sure that we're driving business back into Park City. So it's going to give us a bigger company to have more resources outselling, attracting corporate clients to this area. And so to own the organization certainly made more financial sense for me than just a collaborative relationship.
So let's talk about the services offered. What is the bread and butter client of Destination Services?
That's a great question. The bread and butter client would be, we work a lot in the financial and insurance sector. So say a big insurance company that has a direct sales force and they're planning an incentive program, and this is something that their agents have worked for all year, and this is being offered as a reward program. They look to us at Destination Services to say, create an amazing experience. We've got 4 days on the ground in Park City, Deer Valley. We've been all over the world. These people are very well traveled. What are you going to put together for our attendees and our qualifiers that's going to be simply amazing and memorable in your destination so that when they go home, they're motivated and fired up? So we're going to provide, you know, high-end VIP transportation, special events out in the market, looking at really unique venues, dinners in downtown Park City. We're going to offer amazing activities out in the mountains. So really a full-service experience that is from the point that they hit the airport all the way through a 4-day stay.
So a basic client is a high achiever, a well-traveled high achiever already.
Absolutely.
Okay, so what do you deliver in Park City that makes them go home and say, wow, that of all the trips I've been on knocked my socks off?
Well, look at what we have in our backyard. I mean, this is amazing. So we're bringing people from New York and Chicago and Boston, Atlanta, Dallas. You know, first of all, you know, land in Salt Lake City, and in 30 quick minutes, you're in this beautiful mountain community, and we've got our outdoor playground right at your fingertips. So, you know, that in and of itself is something that is just so amazing for people coming from large cities and congested areas and traffic and
the
heat and humidity.
The hassle factor is reduced immensely.
Exactly. And they're outside enjoying this fresh air. They're getting to mountain bike and go rafting and fly fishing, and we're taking them up to the top of the mountain at Deer Valley for some amazing views where they're getting pictures and bragging rights to say, look what I did when I was here. So I think in and of itself, this destination and the amazing outdoor resources that we have make this such a special location that will take people away just saying this was unbelievably amazing.
So, Kathy, you may not be aware of this, but I have a feeling you probably are. In this community, there's a great deal of concern and anxiety, and in some areas, even I would call it fear, that with the recent acquisition by Vail of PCMR, that Vail's influence in this town or the town will become, well, their influence will be so large that this town will become a Vail town, a corporate town, and we will lose some of the local businesses. We will lose the local authentic character, not only in our business community, but also in the residential. So here you are now coming in, buying one of our local businesses and consolidating it on the heels of Vail coming in. Is there a connection? And should people, is this a legitimate concern that they have that all of a sudden, you know, because of what Vail has done, or is there something happening beyond Vail? It doesn't really matter if Vail had bought PCMR. Would you be looking at VIP and consolidating anyway?
That's a mouthful. Absolutely. Well, first of all, I think I have coexisted with Vail Resorts for 30 years in the Vail Valley. So as a young entrepreneur, I started my business when I was 23 years old. I feel like I grew up side by side working with Vail Resorts. I feel like they have been an amazing partner to me and to my business. And by putting out an unbelievable mountain product, where people want to come and ski, and it's world-class resorts, that has only helped my business grow. This acquisition really has nothing to do with what Vail, you know, being on the heels of Vail. I think it just makes sense. You know, I've been operating in Colorado for so long. Then I open in Lake Tahoe. I've got, you know, Park City, Salt Lake City, Deer Valley sitting in the middle. And we are really a mountain specialist company. So as a destination management and event company, we're putting together these amazing mountain experiences. And so for me, this is a part of our brand. This is a part of our culture of being a mountain specialist to offer to these corporate clients coming from cities all over the country.
Now, having gone through the progression that you've gone through over the last 30 years of growing your business from one of those local businesses to more of a regional business, how do you look at what's happening through that lens? Do you share the concern, the anxiety of having once been a local, what you could call mom and pop, and now you're a player?
Well, I think as an entrepreneur, you always have concerns and you know, keeping your ear to the ground and looking at what are potential threats in the marketplace. I think with Vail Resorts, it's really more about a driving market force that is going to promote this destination and going to bring more visitors and different and new visitors into this valley to ski and enjoy this destination. And I think as a local business, you know, there are still amazing local restaurants in Vail and Beaver Creek. There are plenty of retail shops that are still locally owned. I am certainly a product of Vail, and you know, I'm a thriving entrepreneur that has been able to build the success of my company starting in Vail with amazing clients that has allowed me to expand into such an unbelievable market as Park City and Deer Valley. So I think, you know, as a business owner, you've always got to be aware of what's out there. And I think look at ways to build the bridge with Vail Resorts and collaborate, because this is going to be an amazing adventure with them in this market.
You know, now your acquisition of DVIP is a consolidation, but you're buying it from another consolidator, which is the All Resort Group, which started out as a much smaller company and has pretty much absorbed all the ground transportation companies in the area. Of course, new ones are springing up all the time. So I presume All Resort acquired this company because all these people coming in needed transportation up the hill, and they wanted to lock mm-hmm. that business up. So does that relationship continue? Or you need to bring all these people into Park City from the airport and then move them around once they're here. What kind of relationship now will you have with the All Resort Group? Will mm-hmm. they be getting all your business?
That's a great question. We will, you know, I think that the owners of All Resort Group, you know, what they said to me is that we're in the business of moving people. And, you know, the event management, the corporate side of this business is just not in our core wheelhouse. And they saw an opportunity for this team and this company to continue to grow under my leadership. And they felt like they wanted to expand their transportation into other areas and other destinations. And so this made sense for those owners to sell to me. With that, we will certainly have a very friendly relationship, and I am sure that we'll continue to do quite a bit of transportation business with them. But I think there also are quite a few good suppliers in this town that are maybe a little small, exclusive, high-end luxury transportation that we'll continue to use in and out of our hotel partners.
Okay, very fine. Well, Kathy Fort McCarty, thanks and welcome.
Thank
to
you.
Park City.
And excited to be
to
here.
This, to the Wasatch. And yeah, absolutely, you can see it makes sense. If you've been flying over the Wasatch to get to Reno from Denver, it certainly makes sense to stop off here.
Thank you. Very happy to be here. Appreciate it.
Okay, well, we will come back and wrap up Mountain Money after this.
Mountain Auto Repair in Heber is revved up and ready to support KPCW with Subaru Service, Subaru Repair, and Subaru Maintenance. Mountain Auto Repair is located close to Park City, south of US 40 on Highway 189, 654-2223 or 654-ABCD.
Additional funding for programming on KPCW has been provided in part by Hideout Canyon, Master Plan Community on the Lake, info at hideoutcanyon.com, Long Reimer Weiniger Bepler, Estate Planning, Family Law, lrw-law.com, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and listeners like you.
Welcome back to Mountain Money as the rain comes down. And Tim, you were making good points and good questions there regarding consolidation and Vail.
Well, that's a big topic right now
have,
in town.
And Vail has now entered into a management contract with the Yarrow, and they've right. made other offers around town to get into other businesses. And you have your ear to the ground as a councilman. Is that what you're hearing, a fear that this could be that we're in a consolidation period and that we'll end up with just one big player?
Well, I certainly think it's a legitimate concern, and I hear it out in the community. And, you know, on the one hand, you can make an argument that Vail is going to be fairly well contained at the base of PCMR, which is where most of their development entitlements exist.
Sure.
So, and that's a very defined area. But at the same time, we're seeing the bleed out into the rest of the community that you're mentioning. They are getting into lodging. They are getting into transportation. They are, you know, exploring the opportunities to have a greater influence in all aspects of resort, and we are a resort community. So, but again, I wonder how much of that would be, you know, because of Vail, or would that be happening regardless of Vail?
And that's it. It's the inevitability of what we've created with this wonderful town. It is getting national and international notice, and that, of course, brings bigger players, whether it's Vail or someone else.
As Miles Reiteman likes to say, once you've created Shangri-La, you can expect people to come visit.
Indeed. And, you know, maybe this is unfair to ask in the 30 seconds that are left, but do you have any predictions of what happens this winter in terms of tourism? It's the first year Vail will be out there promoting the two resort combined into one?
Well, I think you're seeing the indications already in the summer. We're having the biggest summer we've ever experienced, and our sales receipts are setting new records. So, yeah, I think that's probably the trend we'll see in the winter as well.
Indeed. Well, I want to thank our great sponsors for promoting or for supporting Mountain Money as they do. Mountain West Bank, the Park City Chamber, Berkshire Hathaway Home Services, Utah Properties, San Francisco Design, and Jones Waldo, Holbrook, and McDonough. Thanks, Tim, for joining me this week. Next week, Alex Butwinski will join. This is KPCW Park City.